Let's start with a little bit of scripture. Shout out praises to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with joy. Enter his presence with joyful singing. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We belong to him. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for being a God worthy of praise. Thank you for being a God worthy of celebrating. And Lord Jesus, as we go through this service tonight, may we celebrate you well. And may you speak into our hearts and our lives the things that you want to communicate to us. Please give us ears to hear your voice and a willingness to to engage in your love however you choose us to. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a huge passage in the book of Acts to look at tonight, which, of course, if you know me, that's good news for you, because a large passage means a short sermon. Short passage means a long sermon. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to follow along, feel free to turn to Acts chapter 10. We're actually talking in the meanwhile. Last month when we looked at the book of Acts, we saw the conversion of a man by the name of Saul. Now, within 1.5 chapters or so, Paul is busily engaged in ministry and traveling the world, and the rest of the book of Acts is mostly consumed by the Apostle Paul. But what we often fail to realize is Acts chapter 10 and chapter 11 come in a 12-year period. There is about 12 years between Paul's conversion and Paul's beginning of ministry in Acts chapter 11. So we are talking meanwhile, while Paul is spending time learning, while Paul is spending time, actually he's not even Paul yet, he's still Saul. While Saul is learning, while Saul is in Arabia getting visions from the Lord, while he's spending time with Jesus, while he's learning what it means to be a Christian, God is still at work. Jesus is still a man of actions. So Acts chapter 10, we're going to see an amazing, amazing thing happen tonight. Or tonight we're going to see an amazing thing that happened. So I'm going to read the whole story, which takes us all the way through chapter 11, verse 18. So we're going to go through that. I would encourage you to listen, to engage with it. What stands out to you as I read this series of events? What stands out to you? Now, there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was all his household. He did many acts of charities for the people and prayed to God regularly. About 3:00 one afternoon, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God who came in and said to Cornelius. Cornelius, staring at him and becoming greatly afraid, Cornelius replied, "What is it, Lord?" Can you imagine what it would be like to be in the midst of prayer and suddenly there's an angel standing there and calls your name? That would be a little bit shocking. Cornelius found it shocking. "What is it, Lord?" The angel said to him, "Your prayers and your acts of charity have gone up as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon, who is called Peter. This man is staying as a guest with a man named Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who had spoken to him departed, Cornelius called 2 of his personal servants and a devout soldier from among those who served him. And when he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. About noon the next day, while they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted to eat. But while they were preparing the meal, a trance came over him. He saw heaven opened and an object, something like a large sheet, descending, being let down to earth by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals and reptiles of the earth and wild birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, slaughter and eat." But Peter said, "Certainly not, Lord, for I have never eaten anything defiled and ritually unclean." The voice spoke to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not consider ritually unclean." This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up to heaven. Now, while Peter was puzzling over what the vision he had seen could signify, the men sent by Cornelius had learned where Simon's house was and approached the gate. They called out to ask if Simon, known as Peter, was staying there as a guest. While Peter was still thinking seriously about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Look, three men are looking for you, but get up, go down, and accompany them without hesitation, because I have sent them." So Peter went down to the man and said, "Here I am, the person you're looking for. Why have you come?" They said, "Cornelius the centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear a message from you." And I just lost my place. So Peter invited them in and entertained them as guests. On the next day, he got up and set out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. The following day, he entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting anxiously for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. So when Peter came in, Cornelius met him, fell at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter helped him up, saying, "Stand up. I too am a mortal." Peter continued talking with him as he went in and found many people gathered together. He said to them, "You know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate or visit a Gentile. Yet God has shown me that I should call no person defiled or ritually unclean. Therefore, when you sent for me, I came without any objection. Now, may I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius replied, "Four days ago, at this very hour, 3:00 in the afternoon, I was praying in my house, and suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your acts of charity have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and summon Simon, who is called Peter. This man is staying as a guest in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. Therefore, I sent for you at once, and you were kind enough to come.' So now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to say to us." Then Peter started speaking. "I now truly understand that God does not show favoritism in dealing with people. But in every nation, the person who fears him and does what is right is welcomed before him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John announced with respect to Jesus from Nazareth, that God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him up on the third day and caused him to be seen, not by all the people, but by us, the witnesses God had already chosen, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to warn them that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. About him, all the prophets testified that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were greatly astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "No one can withhold the water for these people to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?" So he gave orders to have them baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay for several days. Now, the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles too had accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers took issue with him, saying, "You went to an uncircumcised man and shared a meal with them." But Peter began and explained to them point by point, saying, "I was in this city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object, something like a large sheet, descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came to me. And I stared, and I looked into it, and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild animals, reptiles, and wild birds. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, slaughter and eat.' But I said, 'Certainly not, Lord. For nothing defiled or ritually clean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice replied a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not consider ritually unclean.' This happened three times, and then everything was pulled up to heaven again. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea approached the house where we were staying. The Spirit told me to accompany them without hesitation. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He informed us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and summon Simon, who is called Peter, who will speak a message to you by which you and your entire household will be saved.' Then, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he did on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, as he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Therefore, if God gave them the same gift as he also gave us after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to hinder God?" When they heard this, they ceased their objections and praised God, saying, "Phew, so then God has granted the repentance that leads to life, even to the Gentiles." Aren't you glad? Even to us, the Gentiles. What stands out to you from that series of events? Don't try to give me the right answer. There is no the right answer. What stands out to you? Peter's obedience, all right. God is in control. The willingness of the others in Jerusalem afterwards to take Peter at his word and to say, "Okay, I guess this goes beyond what we've done so far. Cool, okay." Their willingness to take Peter's word. That God had prepared Cornelius and his entire household. It wasn't Peter's eloquence or amazing speech. It was God's preparation. It took Peter three times to get the message. Do you ever wonder what it is about God and Peter? How many times Peter needs three of them? It took Peter three times, or at least God did the vision three times. Do you know what struck me? What are the points that Peter told the people at Jerusalem that stood out in his mind? That's kind of an amazing thing. When we read the summary, you always hit the important parts in a summary, right? What are the important parts according to Peter? the vision, the preparation that God was doing in Peter's heart and in Peter's life to accept a class, a whole realm of people, not a class of people, a whole realm of people that he considered unclean, that he was forbidden to associate with. What God had done for Cornelius in preparing him. Do you notice that Peter doesn't even regale the crowd at Jerusalem with his amazing sermon? God was so amazing. You should have heard when I started to speak and I said, Peter doesn't even go into that. Peter says, when I began to speak, God doesn't need an altar call. God had prepared their hearts. And when Peter introduced them to the name Jesus the Christ, they believed and the Holy Spirit fell. See, this is all about God's doing and Peter's simple obedience. This crossed every cultural, every religious boundary that Peter had ever known. Peter was raised to be a good Jew, which meant you avoided anything unclean, including every Gentile. Not only that, but this guy was a Roman. He was one of the conquerors. He was not only that, but he was a centurion. He was one of the officers. He was one of the commanders in the Italian cohort. This is a famous, famous cohort of soldiers. And this guy's one of them. Not only is he a Gentile, but he's a hated enemy of our people. And he loved God. Who knew? As we walk the streets, we have no clue who it is that God has called to himself, that God is working at. The really cool thing is, folks, guess what? It's not up to you to win people for the Lord. Because the minute you say that, the minute I go, I certainly hope you didn't, because you can't save anybody. You can't forgive sin. You can't get them to heaven. God does. And we see that so clearly here. I find it interesting. Here's a little side note. Sometimes as a Christian, you have to be willing to, shall we say, take hospitality where God chooses to give it. I remember one time Trish and I were in Ethiopia, and we were traveling down country with her parents into tribal languages and tribal areas as her dad made. Her dad was a translator, and so he was checking on different translation projects that were going on. And we were there during that time and were able to take this trip with them. So we sat in a darkened tukul. A tukul is a grass and mud hut. And we ate the food that was given to us. And I have never been so glad that the room was dark. I knew what it should be, and it did not feel like that in my mouth. I have never prayed more, Lord, please keep me healthy. I don't know what I'm eating, but thank you that you're taking care of me. Simon the Tanner lives by the sea. Do you know why he lives by the sea? Because his place stinks. They're not allowed to live in town. The chemicals and the stuff that they would use in their profession as a tanner, they were always well past town on the edges of the industrial area. Because it stunk. That's why it was, Simon the Tanner by the sea. He's easy to find. Very easy to find. and Peter was staying in this house, is it any wonder that he was up on the roof having quiet time? We take hospitality where God chooses to give it. We follow God's directions because he's the one who does the planning. He's the one who does the preparation. Another story, this one from Ukraine. I remember there was a pastor that I was interacting with a little bit. And this pastor just had some things going on that I just really, really concerned both Trish and I. And we talked about it. And neither one of us had peace to talk with this pastor about it. We talked about it. We prayed about it. Probably 2 or 3 years later, as we were interacting with this pastor, God said, "Now." Okay. See, this pastor always jumped from one place to another. He never preached a series. It was always picking his favorite passages and just kind of all over the place, which is a really poor way to grow a church. Because you only hear the stuff you like to preach on or the stuff that's easy. "Now, Urban." "Okay." So I approached him. I said, "Pastor, have you ever considered preaching a series? I would love to, but I don't know how. Would you teach me?" God had to get me ready to walk with him for the next 10 years in Ukraine. My best friend there. As we spent time together every week, learning how to get into the Word and learning how to open it up and how to build a series, how to build a curriculum, he had no clue. It's like, "I would love to, would you teach me?" How do we know what God's will is? Be praying. Because you don't know if you are part of that answer. God had to prepare me so I was ready to be the man that this pastor needed me to be. God had to prepare him so that he was ready to admit that I don't know how to do that. God was at work in the meantime, and when the time was right, brought us together. God is at work in the meantime. Meanwhile, God is working. God is working right now in hearts of people that you will interact with next week. You have no clue who they are. You have no clue potentially that you will ever interact with them. It may simply be someone that you smile at because they serve you well in the grocery store. You don't know what God is doing. But as long as we're walking with him, as Peter was, spending time in prayer, spending time in God's Word, spending time with Jesus, that's when the instructions come. That's when the directions come. You know, people say it's a really hard thing to discover the will of God. No, it isn't. It's the easiest thing in the world. Live your life. Live your life. Make the choices. God is at work. Like they used to tell us back in the day at Prairie when I was there, you can't steer a parked car. If you want to know what God's will in your life is, get moving and he can direct you. Folks, God is at work. We see it in this amazing example from Peter. God is at work in ways that we don't even have a clue of, and in ways that may make you so totally uncomfortable. Can you imagine what it was like for Peter walking into a Roman centurion's house? "Wow, this is how they live. I'm in the wrong profession." Makes him very uncomfortable. What are they going to think? could have stopped him? What is Jerusalem going to think could have stopped him? He was more concerned about what is God going to think. And he just obeyed. Hey, I'm here. I'm breaking every rule, every law, everything. I'm here. What can I do for you? We're here to listen to what you have to tell us. Okay. There's some quick scramble prep. Again, folks, it's all about God living your life through you. God wants you to be the skin that he can touch other people with. When we fill it with our own agendas, when we fill it with our own angst, when we fill it with our own, the touches that we leave on people often are not very pleasant. I want to encourage you. It's like Ephesians 2:10 says, God has, we are God's workmanship. We are God's craftedness. We are God's work of art, created for good works that he prepares in advance for us. He's the one prepping. He's the one doing the background work. He's the one doing all of that. Walk with him because he's part of your everyday life. And you never know who God is going to touch through your skin. Do you realize that Peter was the one who brought every group of humanity into the church? The day of Pentecost, it was Peter who stood up and addressed the Jewish crowd. It was Peter and John that they sent when the Samaritans first became Christians. It was through Peter that they received the Holy Spirit. And now, the Gentiles. Again, God chooses Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Peter didn't even get a chance to finish his sermon. That's got to really be irritating for a preacher. Suddenly, he gets started and the Holy Spirit falls on them. That's God at work. That's cool. That's Peter and Jesus in a relationship together, just living life together. Lord Jesus, thank you for being willing to work with us. Jesus, sometimes it's willing to work in spite of us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you offer us your companionship every day. All we have to do is spend time with you, read your word, spend time listening to you, spend time talking to you. Lord Jesus, I ask for each person here tonight that you would draw them deeper into that communion with you, that connection that you want to have with each one. Father, for those that resist, I ask that you would be at work in their hearts. And that you would break down the barriers that they've erected. Father, each one of us has barriers, and I ask that you would love them down. That you would be seen in us more and more. And that you would be able to touch the world through us, because people see you when they interact with us. Now may our Lord Jesus, the Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us and by grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good thing you do or say. Amen.